you can conceive for a moment, and this is an old illustration that the brethren used years, it comes to my mind now. He had a wonderful, complicated piece of machinery. And I tell you, my brethren, this world and the affairs of this world and everything in is a complicated thing, so far as we're concerned. But now if we had a piece of machinery that everything seemed to be working, this gear worked in that gear, the cogs and the wheels, the flywheels and the shafts and everything else worked together. And lo and behold, somewhere in that there was something we didn't know what was for. Now it got there. I think my brethren, when this thing got to moving, the first thing you knew, this thing was in there promiscuously. We get in the way of something else, and the first thing you know, the machinery, the whole piece of machinery would be broken off pieces. That's the way I can see, brethren. Now the eternal power of God that he has, he works all things, not just some of them, and that is not the least thing that is contrary to the will of God. No doubt of why some of you knew him, some of most of you didn't, I suspect. He used to say that to somebody, he understood and somebody to believe that these things in the eternal realm and the purpose of God were just like, and in that day, you know, the record, the disc was not so very popular, there wasn't so many of them in that day. But he said to him that he believed that all things were just exactly the record. And when the needle got to a certain point, it played what was on the record there. I believe that, brother, do you? That when the time comes, the place and the purpose of God comes, it just plays the record right there, and there it is. And so there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. And you remember that in Ecclesiastes, we thought about it sometimes, that he said that the Lord has hid these things from men so that they could not find out the way. But it says also that he made everything beautiful in his time. Oh, what a wonderful God is our God. And he has made everything beautiful in his time. Doesn't mean it's pretty. Doesn't mean that it's handsome or anything like that. But it means that God has so fixed it, so prepared it, so shaped it, that he's working together. It's beautiful. It fits perfectly for the purpose of God and in it. Well, that's my conception of how God made it. I believe that the scriptures uphold it. But we must think about it for a moment, and I should close it, but really. So for whom Jesus Christ came to the world for? I know that it stands with me. It wouldn't be just, or it wouldn't be just if it didn't give every man a chance to be saved. But my brethren, we might really think the other way. If God gave men a chance, if that's all they had. If God left it up to men to do some part, and I'll do some other, and then we'll all come together and save you, there will never be anybody saved. No, but God said, and God has fixed it, so that he has sent his Son into the world to save those that he chose in his Son before the world began, those that he loved. And so the Apostle Paul testified, who has saved us and called us with a holy cross. Think of that holy calling which saved us and called us, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, how can anybody in this world, it matters not who he may be, nor what he may believe, how can he, professing to believe the scriptures, professing to believe the word of God, stand up and say that he wouldn't be just if such as that were the truth? And how, and I close with this, what if God, now think of this for a moment, what if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that it might make known the riches of his grace upon the vessels of mercy which were before prepared unto glory. That's the word of our God. That's the word, that's the truth, that's the gospel, that's what Jesus preached, that's what the apostle preached, and that's which we preach. That's what we believe. And to do this, my brethren, in simplicity, we have nothing to boast of, and we only would declare and And in the face of all the opposing powers of men and devils, and we say we can't go along with that. I read that letter from a sister in West Coast recently, and to show you, he said in the first place, many things to preach other than the folks who baptized. He said that she belonged to the church. She didn't say where, but I know the word for it. It doesn't matter. But said it was some progressive folks. They came in there and they took over the church. But she said, I couldn't go along with them, so I withdrew. And I don't know how she's still out of all that, though. I think so because she said other things, circumstances were such that she couldn't go with this, she couldn't go with that. The thing that I wanted to bring your attention to this, she said, I went to a certain place. She gave the name of the people, I don't recall, it doesn't matter. But she said, once you have tasted and proved, you can't accept anything else. And that's the way it is, isn't it? Once you believe, once God has revealed to you the truth of salvation by grace, God has all power both in heaven and earth. And that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I tell you, my brothers, sustained by the grace of God, you cannot believe that you have something to do in order to merit salvation. You just can't believe it. Because Jesus has been wrought in your heart, and the truth has been preached to you, the truth has been revealed to you, and you, by the grace of God, my brethren, can't follow something else. My sheep hear my voice, and as strangers they will not follow. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Well, this is our God, and this is the doctrine that I believe has been preached from this pulpit for these many decades. And it's the doctrine, my brethren, that will continue to be preached as long as the world stands. We don't know. We sometimes with fearful apprehension. But that's all the flesh. Because he that has chosen his people, he that loved them, he that gave his son to die for them. I don't know how many. I have no reason, no way of knowing how many and how long. It will be. How long it would take in the eternal purpose of God for the last one of these that have chosen Christ Jesus to be born into the world and for him to redeem unto them and give them earnest of spirit. I don't know how long. But I'm assured of this much. And this whole world will stand and for the very last one of those who have been brought into the world by their generation of battle. And unto whom the Lord will reveal that he is their God and that they are his people. I think, brethren, I think this is my thought, that when the last one brought in to the knowledge of the truth, called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, I don't expect that the Lord has much more reason and purpose in this whole world. Then he is coming, but not before the fullness of the purposes of God has been accomplished in all things, both in heaven and in earth. And such is our God. May God be with you. I feel better today than I did yesterday. I was down in the mouth yesterday, it was way down low. I didn't know whether it was a God or not. Today I'm glad to tell you that I know that my God lives. He will come again. He will appear to light of day. He will come with all the power of heaven to raise his people from the dead, to raise all the dead. And they that have done good, they that are the subjects of the grace of God, they shall hear his voice and come forth in the resurrection, and they shall be his people. They shall be conformed to his image. I believe that in the resurrection, in the coming forth, not afterwards, not before, but in the resurrection, and they shall be conformed to the image of Jesus. And before that time, and before that conforming, his people, none of us in this life, are fitted and prepared for heaven. They shall go forth the resurrection of life. All the others who, for whom Jesus did not die. Now I can't tell you why. I can't understand that. I can only tell you what the glad come unto thee, you will not do it, you will not. Ye are your father the devil. And Jesus, I believe, was the priest plainer than any old Baptist preacher I ever heard. And so did John the Baptist. He called him to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Ye are your father the devil. I suppose if I tell someone that they are the father of the devil today, they wouldn't like it. But if I could do that in the spirit and in simplicity and humbleness, I'd be preaching the truth just as true as Jesus did, John the Baptist and everybody else. Because they preach Jesus as the salvation of those that are obligated, and that salvation is sure. It's not dependent upon men and what they do and what they don't do. Jesus said, all that Father give me shall come to thee. He fixed it that way. He said, shall come. But nobody can come except that Father who sent me draw him. He fixed it that way. And all that Father give me shall come unto thee. But it just is a circle. The whole thing works together. So that we begin here and Father all the way around. It works together perfectly. So that salvation is absolutely sure unto everyone for whom the Savior died upon the Roman cross. Whom he arose from the dead as the justifier of all men that the Father gave.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
good moment of thy time. And beg, O Lord, that as we journey along, wherever it may be, wherever the lot may be cast, O God, be with us. Watch over us all the days, in the darkness of the night. O Lord, the forsaken not. But keep us in the shadow of thy reign. May we ever rest